Ellis is a professional skateboarder. He's also a DJ here at Sirius XM. He hosts the Jason Ellis Show, and Jason has said, oh, there he is. Hey, Jason, welcome to the show. All right, slap those headphones on. Now, how come I don't hear you? Oh, there you go. Okay, I got you now.
You got me?
How are you?
I'm good, mate.
Welcome to the show. So what channel are you on the great Sirius XM, and when can we hear you?
You can hear me East Coast. It's 3 to 7, and it's 28 Sirius and 52 XM. It's technical stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of channels to keep track of. How do you become a professional skateboarder? That sounds like kind of fun.
It is.
Can you make a decent living being a professional skateboarder?
You can now.
You can.
Yeah, but not anymore for me.
When you started,
yeah.
Did everyone think you were insane? I mean, your parents probably were disappointed in you. They were like, that's no future for you. You're never going to go anywhere.
My parents were disappointed anyway. I was sort of a bit of a fuck-up.
Yeah.
Is the nicest way I could put it.
Right.
I had good intentions. I was never a mean person. I didn't steal or anything, but I definitely didn't have any plans to have a job.
But you were a good athlete.
I was a good athlete. I had wasn't so much talented. I just had the drive and the passion to be good at whatever I fell in love with, and that was what it was.
And what would you do? Would you go out every day as a kid and practice skateboarding?
Every day, all day. I took off school. I would pretend that my mashed potatoes were half pipes, just sleeping, daydreaming about it every day, all day. My mom and my dad are divorced. I brought them to a bar and told them when I was, 16? Something like 14 or something like that. I said, if you guys can support me for 6 months, I'm just going to go to America and be a pro skateboarder.
But it's extreme life, right? I mean, there's no sort of depending on a big living there.
No, I wasn't in for the money.
No,
I never,
you just
loved it. Yeah, I never looked at it at one day I'll be a millionaire. I just looked at it as one day I'll be a pro skateboarder.
But you never said to yourself, oh man, how am I going to ever support a family? How am I going to? What's my life going to be if I'm a pro skateboarder?
Yeah, such a thing as a pro skateboarder?
There was.
Robin Quivers. No fucking way.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Every day.
By the way, I was reading your notes. You've been married twice.
Yeah.
First wife, then you married a second woman. The second woman you married twice.
Yeah, we didn't get divorced. We separated and then we got back together. So we didn't get.
You have said that during your separation, you had such a massive crush on Robin that you were thinking of picking up the phone and calling her, right?
Yeah, but I didn't want to do that because I'm the future of radio, and if the future of radio wants to bone Robin Quivers, then they'll be like, oh, really? Do you really want to bone her, or do you really just want to meet the king so that you can get your bullshit ass-licking way to glory? So I never went there because I didn't think people would understand.
You just thought about it, though.
They thought that I just want to fuck Howard, not you.
Quarantine tried it.
Where's the Lang? Come on, Lang. Give me some skin, man.
How you doing, John?
John?
I'm kidding.
Motherfucker.
He knows you're dead.
At least it was Jay.
Yeah. Jay. I know your buddy.
So, in other words, your point is, I know everyone around here is very high on your radio show. I got to listen to your radio show because you say you want to be the future of radio. You are the future of radio.
I am the future of radio.
I like the attitude.
Are you dreaming radio now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Instead of skateboarding.
All the things that didn't go successful in skateboarding, because I did a lot of drugs and alcohol around the time that probably I should have been going to the gym and maybe stretching and doing that shit.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like Artie Lang. I have a lot of talent, and I kind of abused it with the drugs and all that stuff. I just didn't put on an extra 200 pounds. I might have put on 20, Artie.
And what talent are you talking about?
Skateboarding.
How do you get a job even on the radio here?
Tony Hawk offered a radio show on Faction. Him and Bam and all those guys have it. You know, it's an action sports kind of channel.
Right.
So Tony Hawk's like, I'm not funny, but I do have a friend who thinks he's funny. I want to put him on the radio. So then I became his co-host, started talking some shit. Steve Blatter and these other big bosses were like, you know what, you're kind of funny. Do you want to have a job as a DJ? And I was like, I don't really want to have a job as a DJ because I'm a spoiled skateboard brat and I don't particularly want to sit around while you play shitty music.
Right.
But if I have to do something to get my foot in the door because I can't skateboard forever and I'm pretty sure the skateboarding I'm doing now is about to end because I'm old and I suck and I'm on fucking drugs.
Right.
So then I took the DJ job and I channeled all my I got beat, I blew it energy into radio. And within a couple of years, they let me stop playing music and talk all the shit I want.
So that's what you do now.
Nice.
I talk shit all day.
How many hours a day do you do?
Four.
4 hours a day.
I want to do five like you, but they won't let me. And you don't want to do five, you want to do four. Can you believe the fucking massacre that's going on here?
Yeah,
give me your hour and let you go home.
You do eight.
Done enough, Stern.
You do eight, we'll do one.
I think that's maybe what I'm going to look to you for. From now on, I'll do 4 hours. You come in and finish up.
Pass the flame.
Pass
the flame. Because
I'm ready to pass it. You want to take it, take it.
I feel like you just say that. Wait, what are you going to do if you stop?
I will. You see that wall over there? I'm going to stare at it all day, and I'm going to be happy.
Maybe not that wall, but another one.
I'm aggravated.
You are?
Yeah.
I mean, you've done so much, man. I can't believe I'm actually... I've come here so many times, and I'm like, where is he? Where is he? And he always leaves. Finally...
Why don't you skateboard anymore?
The kingpin. I skateboard a little bit, but not for
right, because
for money.
You did it all.
I did do it all.
I've done it all.
You have done it all.
Wait a minute.
Wouldn't you want to stay here a little bit longer just for winning?
Because
I feel like satellite radio is the... It's the inevitable end.
I happen to love satellite radio. I love working here.
It's the best.
It's been an absolute joy being here at SiriusXM. Really, I mean, I've worked everywhere.
Yeah.
I've worked all over this country. And being here now is really the greatest place for me. I have no regrets about coming here. But at some point, I'm going to hang it up.
Yeah. He has a physical limitation.
Me too.
You can't skateboard forever.
Robin,
I can skateboard forever. I just can't skateboard and win forever.
That's what I'm saying. You couldn't be the best forever.
Robin, you just
Why
saw
are you
me...
going to be such a downer?
No, I'm just
you
saying.
You are a hot person, though.
He's still...
And I'm married.
What?
Robin, you
look good.
Thank you.
Man, like your face looks really good.
Don't get in between these two.
Well,
I don't want to do you. If I was going to, I would make out with you because of your pretty little face. You look young and stuff. What the hell's going on there?
I don't know.
What, you in radio with him for 25 years?
Listen, I want to get back to this skateboarding thing.
I've only been here for 10.
You're a kid. You're growing up in... We're going to get to everything here.
Okay.
You're a kid growing up in Australia.
Yep.
And you say you're going to be a professional skateboarder. Now, I get the impression when you decide to be a professional skateboarder that every bone in your body gets broken while you're practicing this because it is extreme.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't wear a helmet and...
No, I did.
You did.
I'm a ramp skateboarder. I grew up, when I first started skateboarding, there was ramps. There was no such thing as a street skater. Now, there's 13 million skateboarders in the world and 10 million of them are street skaters.
Yes.
So I'm a dying breed. I'm a ninja, if you will.
Right.
And the vert skating, you always wear pads because vert skating is when you're on that ramp thing. So when you fall, if you don't have a helmet on, you're an idiot.
You wear wrist guard. Robin just broke her wrist doing skateboarding.
No, she rollerbladed out, which is completely legal for somebody to use to tighten their buns up. But if you are a man and you do have fruit boots on, you are gay.
I agree with him. I agree with him.
You're saying that rollerblading
is gay. Yes.
Yes.
But skateboarding is not. Why is skateboarding not gay?
Because skateboarding started this shit. Skateboarding is a real sport.
It's cool.
It's people live it their whole lives. Nobody's a fucking rollerblader from the start to the end. Right. They're always like, oh, occasionally I like to skateboard too. No skateboarder occasionally likes to rollerblade. Enough said.
Someone said on your show, that's what you do. You are good at figuring out what is gay and what isn't gay.
I have a signature segment called Dude, Is It Gay?
Dude, is it gay?
Yeah.
So if I called you up and I said, is rollerblading gay, you would say yes.
Yes.
And I agree. I agree with him completely.
Okay. So here it is. Let me ask you
How about roller skating? I mean, those 4 weeks.
Roller skating is okay.
Oh, it is.
Yes,
okay.
It's the inline thing. Inline.
I disagree.
A bunch of men inline with each other, fuck each other in the ass. Artie, inline. Roller skating.
I don't know what inline means. I think roller skating is gay.
If you're at a roller rink and you're trying to get laid, I'm cool with it.
Well, rollerblading is trying to get laid, too. Why don't you go to a fucking bar and have a drink with a broad?
Rollerblading and trying to get laid, rollerblading is like rollerblading with a deep-fried dick in your mouth. It is a fucking gay-looking thing.
Right. I agree. Rollerblading is so gay, and the helmets are gay. Everything's gay about
it. Terrible.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You're making out with a cute Asian transvestite.
Right.
Who you claim you thought was a real girl.
Yeah.
And
how do you get away from being gay?
Is that gay or not?
What do you mean? I'm gay.
No, I'm not saying you.
I didn't say I'm not gay and you're gay. I said that rollerblading's gay. I sucked a cock when I was like 2 or something.
You
I'm
did?
Really gay.
You sucked a cock?
Yeah.
No kidding. What was this?
What?
I was like 4.
What happened? Tell me.
My mom's babysitter made me blow him.
Wow.
Oh, well, you were molested.
Yeah.
So that's not gay.
Well, is it? The cock
no, that's
in my
not
mouth?
Gay. That's funny.
Right. Well, that's why I said it, Addy.
Give me a second here, if you would. Okay. If you were a kid and the babysitter sticks his, you know, cock in your mouth.
Yes.
That's called rape.
That's rape. I mean, you were molested. That's a serious thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I bounced back from it.
You did?
Yeah.
Is that something that you recently remembered, or that
I remembered it when I was 18. I took acid and crystal meth and these other pills that had crystal in them that my girlfriend had at the time, and then I had a pretend friend after a contest, and I was talking to my pretend friend about how somebody molested me.
Right.
And then she told my parents, and my parents thought that he forgot about that.
I see.
Oh, so
it all came flying back.
Yeah.
When I used to watch Oprah, I was like, wow, I'm so glad nobody fucked me when I was a kid. And then, boom, turns out they did.
All right, so since you know what's good, what's gay and what isn't gay, let's get back to this segment for a second. Like, for example, Artie wrote in his, he told us on the air that he was at a, like, sort of an orgy situation.
Yes.
And a guy accidentally came on his chest.
Right.
He wasn't involved with the guy. The guy shot a load and it fell on his chest. Is that gay?
Well, see, that you would have to ask a couple of questions. I don't go just yes or no, but if you did get a load on a chest, that means you were having sex with another man with a full erect penis in the near vicinity.
No. Here's the story.
In the near vicinity.
It was
in the near vicinity.
No. Here's the story. It was a drug party in L.A., and I went there with a drug dealer.
Sounds gay.
Okay.
So far, so gay.
I walk into a room, and it's everyone having heterosexual sex. It's an orgy, which I've never been to before.
Yeah.
I start talking to a girl. This girl starts to blow me, leaning over a couch. So she's giving me a blowjob.
Yeah.
That's gay.
Okay. A guy walks over and starts fucking the girl in the ass. All right. So now essentially it's
threesome. It's kind of fucked up.
Okay.
But it is an orgy.
And I don't know what to do. So she's blowing me. The guy pulls his cock out and starts to come on her back.
Shoots over her back.
A piece of.
He missed.
A fraction. A speck. Can I say a speck?
You can say whatever you want. You know you got hit with the load.
I got hit with some sperm.
All right, so is that gay?
I would say that it is not gay. The other guy is gay because any man who accidentally shoots their boy with a load or a guy that happens to be getting blown down beneath, he's stretching it too far. He knows that he's thinking possibly this bit might catch you, and he wants it to catch you.
I agree with him.
When the load hit your chest, it was gay, but it's one of those gay things that you can bounce back from.
So get back to this. When you come over to America to become a professional skateboarder.
Yeah, 17 with $50 in my pocket.
Okay, so you come over here and you get on a circuit, I guess. I mean, there's somewhere you go.
I found a contest and went to the contest.
And
slept under the ramp for 3 days until they had the contest.
And did you begin to win these contests? Did you begin to win every contest?
I didn't have any sort of game plan when it came to. And plus, you know, I mean, I was the best guy in Australia, but when I came here, it was.
There's a lot of good guys.
There was 100 dudes that I'd seen and heard about that were. You know, I mean, these guys have been in it for 10 years. I was like the amateur, but all the new American amateurs, I was the best one.
How do they determine who wins? In other words,
it's a skateboard contest, so you compete. It's a 45-second ride on a half pipe.
So is there a judging kind of factor?
Yeah.
Someone says, hey, he had the best technique, and they hold up like numbers like the Olympics?
And they do.
Yeah, different tricks and back-to-back tricks as well. Like, if you do a really hard trick and then you do three shitty ones, you know, I mean, you got to keep your momentum. Who goes the highest? You also get scored for, they don't do it anymore, but if you fuck up and you're going to die and you make it, that's almost as good as a really hard trick.
Do you ever get concerned that, like, one of the judges might be friends with one of the skateboarders? And were there times that you felt you won and that the judges really screwed you?
That started to happen later on in my career where I started to have an attitude.
Right.
It used to just, I got second or I got third. It was when I got a little older, I'd be like, hey, man, that's fucking bullshit. I won that one. Like,
but there's no regulations in skateboarding. It is possible.
The highest score is taken off. I know that.
It is.
Yeah, somebody makes a crazy bad score or a crazy good score, that one is irrelevant.
Because don't you think it's possible in the world of skateboarding, like in the world of boxing, that perhaps the judges aren't always on the up and up, that there is, you know, I mean, nobody's
It's a possibility, but I still think nobody cares
that much.
Is
there that kind of money
no.
that they care to what win these contests?
What kind of guy make a year? Let's say today I want to become a professional skateboarder.
Yeah.
And I want to go out and make my living doing this. Is it possible to make $1 million a
yes,
year?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah.
With sponsors.
Yeah. When I started, it wasn't. But that was, you know, I mean, a long time ago. Now, almost everybody that you see at X Games and all that, they're all close to a mil. Some of them are way more than a mil.
Because they get endorsements of things.
They get shoe sets. Street skaters sell shoes. Vert Dudes are sponsored by, the Fusion Energies and the Monster Energies. You get that whole corporate thing.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody makes a lot of money now.
And who are the actual judges? I mean, are they people?
Judges are washed up dudes. angry dudes that never quite made it.
You would never judge now that you're not a competitor?
No, I would never judge. I would like to judge because I would be the closest there ever has been to a judge that knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Right.
But when you're at my level, you usually have some sort of attitude problem where you go do other stuff to get more money because, so that you can continue your life of glory.
How much does a guy win when he wins a skateboarding competition?
50 Gs?
50,000. Yeah. So it's okay. It's
all right. Some of them go up from time to time. Some of them go down. But, you know, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, I mean, they win 20, 30, 5 or 6 times a year, but that's really not the.
Would you recommend to
big payday?
Would you recommend to a young kid today to start to like practice to go into skateboarding?
Yeah,
you would.
Yeah, I heard you say ages ago something about a snowboarder. Like, what sort of a job is that to be a snowboarder?
That's
somebody
right.
Fell in love with a snowboarder.
That was the Bachelorette.
Bachelorette. Yes.
The guy was teaching snowboarding, and I said,
yeah,
you know,
he wasn't a competitor. Nah, he was teaching.
Yeah,
it.
He was a washed up guy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You look at people's life. It depends what you want in your life. If he lives up in the mountains and he snowboards every day and he gets paid to teach some asshole how to snowboard so he gets to stay up there and be a snowboarder, isn't that, in a roundabout way, the perfect life for this individual?
Yes, but I don't think she was prepared. I think most women can't handle that
life. I think
the
perfect life with this scenario is with a snowboard girl. If she's not a snowboard girl, then you're just dragging someone up there who's going to get over it.
Is your wife a skateboarder?
No. No, she I didn't want to ever bang a skateboarder. They've all got scarred up shins and shit. I like like tough chicks and stuff, but the one I want to marry, I wanted her to be girly and shit.
The girls must have great bodies, though, from skateboarding. I mean,
a lot of them are a little pudgy in the pants.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's some fat lesbian thing. It's really weird. And they spit and shit and itch their crotch. It's fucking offensive, if you ask me.
Right. So
you're dating a longshoreman.
Oh, it really is. I watched a street contest just because they were that amusingly bulldog, like grabbing crotch and hit the ground, get up and go, fuck, and spit. I'd be like, oh, my God, I don't want to fuck you.
So you've never banged a female skateboarder?
No.
How about a male one?
All right. No. So let me understand something. You come to this country, you get married the first time to an American girl.
No, Australian girl.
You were married an Australian girl. Was that probably out of insecurity? You're coming to America, maybe she was something to hold on to from the old country?
Actually, I married her because her best friend used to be my girlfriend. She left me for someone else, so then I married her best friend.
So it was revenge.
It was.
Yeah.
And she looked exactly the same as the old one, but just a little younger and newer.
When you were skateboarding...
How old were you, though?
When I got married the first time? 28.
Oh, so not that young.
And was your wife satisfied that you were a skateboarder? Did she want you to aspire to other great things?
She was a stripper, so she was very happy with my career. I was one of the most famous people in Australia for doing absolutely nothing, so she loved that. And I had no job. I got checks in the mail.
Right.
We could go out all night, take drugs and all that kind of stuff. But when we got married, we went completely sober.
You married a stripper?
Yes.
And don't you think that that's like the classic blunder in a sense? Because it's very hard not to become jealous. She's gonna, you know, she's probably gonna go out and do some lap dances for some guys.
Never bothered me.
Never bothered. She would go to a strip club.
I used to go and watch her.
And you liked
it. Work on other guys.
I would go watch her, take her money, and go give it to her friend.
That didn't bother you when she would lap dance another guy?
No.
That's when you know the marriage is in trouble.
She had this thing. The other one, the first one, yeah, it would bother me. Because that one, have a couple of drinks, she'll suck your dick.
What's her number?
She lives in New York, Artie.
Did you trust your wife?
The second one, yeah, the first wife. Yes, I did trust her.
You did trust her.
Yeah.
And when your wife goes to a strip club and works, I would just be out of my mind jealous. And maybe it means you never really loved her, because if you could watch her...
I believe
her,
you're right.
Yeah. I think if you could sit there and watch her dance for a guy, then that says something, you know? It says, would she bring other women home for you also? Because strippers are known to do that.
No, we did have a foursome one time with me and my skateboard buddy. He brought his wife and I brought her. And
you swapped.
We swapped.
And weren't you filled with rage watching
him? I wasn't filled with rage. I didn't like it because she was for a stripper, she was the biggest fucking prude on the face of the earth. And
really?
I was pumping the other one too much and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, God, all right, I don't want to do it anymore. This is way too stressful.
She was a prude.
She was a prude.
Wow.
A prude stripper who had a mum who was a fucking junkie or something, and all of a sudden, I'm not allowed to smoke weed anymore. I'm fucking pro skateboarder. And I mean, I stopped fucking everybody. I stopped going to a strip club. And now you're saying I can't even get fucking high anymore? Like,
that's gay.
That's fucking gay. And she had a vagina.
And by the way, hey, you're yelling at me like she did. Like, I'm her.
You can't say this to her.
What the fuck? I can't fuck a stripper.
So
hey, man, it brings back some shit, all right? She used to beat me up.
So you, she could beat you up.
Yeah.
You're a tough guy. I could see you can handle yourself. There's no way.
Yeah, well, I don't hit women, but if you stand there long enough and let them kick you in the face, it does stuff to your head.
So this was a crazy, crazy relationship.
Yeah, she had full anger management. She went to anger management, stopped going, flipped out and beat me up again. I was like, I'm sorry, baby.
Did you have to call the cops?
No, what I did, because she used to punch me. At first, I used to try and block it and stuff, because I got, you know, a bit of a fighting background, so I try to get out of the way. It's just instinctively a good thing to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then I found, through experience of being beaten on a regular basis, to not move and to actually catch the worst one would end it. Because all she wanted was that feel under that, I fucking got you good, you fucking pot-smoking bitch.
Why would she hit you? What was the reason?
Lying about smoking weed.
That's it. She couldn't stand it.
That's
so,
all.
So you smoked weed. You've done drugs. I take it in your life.
I did heroin, Artie.
Did you really? How'd
fuck
you like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, it was so fucking terrible. I'm so glad I don't do it.
Really? Well, it is terrible.
I chased the dragon for a while when I was back. I moved back to Australia with that wife who used to beat me for being high, and I was like, I'll get you. I'll one up you now, motherfucker. Yeah. I will now do heroin.
And you tried it, and it wasn't your thing.
I chased the dragon every day for about 6 months, and it was really good, and I was really into that. And then it escalated because I used to get a lot of prostitutes around then. I got two prostitutes who had heroin, and they only because they were junkie. Prostitutes.
So while you were married, you were banging junkie prostitutes.
Yes.
Well, that's why your wife was beating you.
Yeah, but she didn't know that.
Yeah, but I mean, still, she probably sensed you weren't really.
I did that because she beat me. She started it, Howard.
Jason, were you shooting? Were you shooting heroin?
I did. A hooker shot heroin into me.
The same thing happened. Well, not a hooker,
I bought two hookers. And they took me back to their weird little fucking junkie den or whatever. And
wow, this should happen.
I was doing one of them. They injected me, and then I did one of them. And then I wasn't feeling so good.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you should just go to this park over here. And they walked me to a park, and I started throwing up in the park.
Wow.
And then they weren't there anymore. And then I was like, fuck, I think they're not coming back. And then I went to walk off and check my wallet, and it took all the money out of my wallet, which was it was perfect. It was exactly, it's the only way I learned shit.
But that's the exact same thing. Did they skin pop you, or they didn't tie you off?
No, they tied me off.
They did?
Yeah, they boned me.
He just told us that.
So you were paying them for this experience?
Yeah, I bought all their heroin and for them to rob me and steal me.
But you seem like a guy who's into health. You seem like a guy.
I am now, but not then. No, I was a train wreck for my whole life. I've always drank too much and
but why did you have
cocaine.
To pay women? You're a good looking guy. Why do you
because
have
I don't
to
want to talk to it to you. I don't want to know you.
You can't stand women.
It's not that. It was just a time in my life where I was always wasted all the time. So a conversation where somebody that I actually might be attracted to, I would never want to have sex with them because I would feel bad that they were having sex with me because all I had in my mind were evil thoughts. I just was up to no good.
How did you get rid of all this stuff? Did you go to therapy? Or?
My father died of a heart attack. Hey, I'm ready for you, motherfucker. I got plenty more of that.
Yeah.
Then my little brother died. If you want to play the song, Fred, go ahead.
Nice. That's gay.
It's gay that my brother died.
How did your little brother die?
My little brother stole a tractor steamroller up in my holiday house.
Wow.
And they were running over trees on the side of the cliff, and one of the poles flipped the steamroller off the cliff and killed him. 24 years old.
Wow.
So you and your...
Names on my hands and...
Terrible. And you and your brother are into these extreme kinds of actions.
My other brother is top 10 motocross guy in Australia.
I mean, it's unbelievable. You guys have almost a death wish. I mean,
it's not really a death wish. It's to live. It's a live wish.
In other words, to do and be free and do whatever it is and don't worry about death. Cheat death.
To cheat death is not the way either. Maybe now for me, it's become that way. But when I was younger, I was just hungry to be scared. I wanted to scare myself. I was always trying to push myself. The feeling of being weightlessness in the air was such a passion for me that if there was anything that I could get involved in that would shoot me in the air and a potential injury could come with it, I was all there.
But you didn't care about yourself in a way. It's
in
like,
a way,
I don't care
maybe.
What happens to my body. I don't care what...
Are you breaking me down right now?
Yeah, I mean, what's going on?
It's the attraction to heroin, too.
How many broken bones have you had?
I don't know. Over I lost count after 20.
Really?
Yeah.
20 broken bones.
Yeah, broken bones aren't that bad. Really?
Do you ever wonder why you and your two brothers all were sort of like
same
that same
family,
thing?
Because my father was a fucking idiot. He was
irresponsible.
He was a crazy man. He was one of those people who was I mean, I loved him, but he was a crazy guy. Might have a bit of a drinking problem. He was a little potentially angry, irresponsible, slept with a lot of women, never really...
And what do you think? You identify with him by doing all this?
I think so, yeah. I think I'm very similar to him. I spend my... Ever since he died and my brother died, they both died in, like, under a two-year period.
So you don't really see your father's behavior as negative. You worship it. You idolize it.
Yeah, and I've spent... Ever since now I have a daughter and a real wife where, you know, I'm in a real relationship and I don't do drugs and all that kind of stuff. And the older my daughter gets, the more I see that I wasn't really raised at
all. Why do you think this is so attractive to you? Why do you think you need to make your father into a hero rather than a bad guy?
Because he made me. If I have to admit that my father was a piece of shit, that's not a way that I want to walk around for the rest of my life. I know he really loved me. I just know he was an irresponsible guy. And
that's how I feel about my dad, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
you know?
He did that. I listened to your show. Your dad's the same thing. He was a tough, fucking, hard-ass dude.
And I think Jason's brother would say, and I agree to some extent, I think what he's saying is, I think his brother would rather have lived 24 years the way he lived than 80 years like a boring motherfucker.
We all say that.
Meanwhile, he's not here, and he hasn't had a chance to have a love life.
I know exactly
family.
What he's done. Yeah. It's ruined everybody. My stepmother is a mess. My other brother is the most depressing person on the face of the earth. The only person that really made a move after, you know, putting my brother in a coffin and handling that funeral, like, in the same place that I did my father's under 2 years before, I was just like, is this a fucking... What is this? What's going down? Because I remember thinking the Ellis families can't be breaking, can't be beaten. And now all of a sudden I think it can be, and any day I'm going to die. And that's what stopped me from drinking and taking drugs.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm next.
I used to see this attitude when I'd hang out with Sam Kinison. I'd say, here's this guy on top of the world, you know, and he'd say, I don't care, you know, I live life on the edge, and blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, he's not here anymore.
Sam didn't take himself out. He was hit by a drunk driver.
Yeah, he was. But, I mean, his lifestyle was so out there. And, yeah, you know, he'd be a rebel, and he would say, I don't care, and this and that. I'm going to live life to the fullest. But believe me, I mean, his life was in turmoil.
It was.
It was a painful, painful life.
Look what
Sam
was doing.
I'm not the same guy anymore, Howard. I'm telling you, I've completely changed my life around. I do dangerous stuff when it comes to fighting, and I still do skateboard stuff and motocross stuff. But
fighting?
Yeah, I'm a pro fighter. I'm an amateur boxer and a pro cage fighter.
Really?
Now, undefeated, Lang.
Where do you do this?
I ain't touching you.
Where do you do this? Where do you go to do cage fighting?
I train at Fortune Boxing Gym for my hands and stuff like that. And I used to train at Quest in Temecula, but now I just train with all my friends are like pro fighters, some of the best guys in the world. So
I saw a video where you had Pink. I guess Pink is a friend of yours.
Yeah.
The singer.
She put a vagina on the back of my neck one day.
Is that right?
Yes, I felt
nice.
It.
I had a very, very nice girl. I've had her on the show.
That ain't
a lovely girl. Her and her husband, my best friends.
So I saw
in Huntington.
I saw a video where you had her on your radio show.
Yep.
And you said to her, punch me in my face as hard as you can.
Yeah, chicks punching me is pretty cool.
And at first she was kind of like, you know, she hit you like, you said, no, hit me hard. And she took her fist and punched you right in the eye. Like,
yeah,
like,
no drugs, Howard. No drugs.
No drugs.
It's like Raging Bull.
What do you think that's all about?
I think when it comes to the radio, I'll do whatever I got to do to amuse people. And I think, you know, Howard, you have your thing. I have my thing. And a part of the things I have I'm very good at being punched in the face by females.
But are you an adrenaline junkie?
Fucking cheesy, Robin.
That's gay, right?
It is gay.
What are you, a bumper sticker?
But I have switched drugs to being kicked and punched in the face, and it does. The passion that I have for fighting, and when I say passion for fighting, it doesn't mean I want to walk on the street and punch innocent people in the face.
Right.
I do it for a sport, and I really live for it. I love it. I visualize it all the time, just like I had with skateboarding. It's the other thing that I do that keeps me away from the stuff that I might want to go do.
Why did you, and this might be the most extreme thing I ever read about you, and by the way, we are here with Jason Ellis, who has the Jason Ellis Show today and every weekday from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Faction Sirius Channel 28 and XM Channel 52, so you can join him.
Number two, Stern.
And Rising Fast.
Yes.
Great guest.
Why did you have sex with Chyna the wrestler? Chyna Doll, she now calls herself. She's very, very muscular.
She didn't like the masculine.
I do. No, variety is a spice of life, Robin, and I never fucked a dude before, and the opportunity came.
Yes, you have.
And I fucking took it. I didn't fuck that
Chyna
dude. He blew me.
Okay. So why did you have sex?
She came on my show, and I met her, and I've always wanted to sleep with a weightlifter.
Right.
I just wanted to.
And
she's
it
never
didn't
seen
it. Matter whether it was a man or a woman?
He's not a dude.
Luke Ferrigno wasn't available.
So you,
I was just waiting for the fucking impersonation.
So you meet Chyna on your show. This is now are you separated from
yes,
your
I'm
second
separated,
wife?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the opportunity arose.
Yeah, she was looking in my eyes, and I said something to her about she looked lovely or something like that, and then I realized in her eyes that nobody fucking says that to her, and she's really a sad
case.
She is sad.
Yeah, so I really, like, talking about this, just so you know, my wife is probably listening, and I told her that we're going to go there. She's like, just go there and then get out of there, and okay. I was like, I will. So, you know, I did do it.
Where did you go to do, like, okay. So
we went to her, she invited me to, well, that night, she was at my studio, right? She was like, let me get your number. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm single. What the fuck? Why? I really didn't think my wife was ever going to take me back.
Right.
Why wouldn't I fuck Chyna? Like, who could say that? And maybe there's an angle where I can do it where I might get off in a creepy way. You know,
right.
I'm twisted like that.
So there was something
about...
being
so nice.
There was something about her that you found attractive.
There was. And an innocence. It wasn't an innocence. It was maybe she was so scarred.
Right.
That she's, I wanted to, like...
You wanted to hold her.
Console her, right. Almost. It was weird.
I've been in the room with Chyna, been around her. And,
so you know her.
And, but she's a nice girl. But
you never thought you'd sleep with her.
No, because physically, when I'm with a woman who has bigger shoulders and arms than me...
Yeah. I also have a bigger cock than both of you.
Oh, there's Chyna.
That's a lie. I saw it.
Chyna, did you enjoy sex with Jason?
I loved it. We had a little sword fight under the sheets. And then he skateboarded into my ass.
That's extreme.
A
lie,
now that was a full pipe.
So was it really just to say that you fuck Chyna because you love to do things where, you know, you're an outrageous
guy?
Like,
now it's another story.
Yeah.
It
wasn't a time. It was not. I told it on the radio the day after.
So it was just for the radio.
But no, because I don't want to seem like that because it was a
good
part
for
of,
you.
There was a part of me that thought she was... There was something about her. I felt, I don't want to say I gave her a charity jam, but it was kind of like that.
Right.
But she got weird, too. She got crazy.
Got weird.
So let me understand.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I should have
known
that.
So you went and you...
I went to dinner with her.
Right.
And we hung out, and she had a big fluffy scarf on thing, and all her friends were people that were hanging out with her because she was famous, which means they were broker than she was.
Right.
Which was a very depressing table.
Right.
Because I was like, wait a minute, I think I'm richer than all of you combined, and I'm nobody. This is a fucking sad state of affairs. Everybody's trying to pretend they're so fucking rich and awesome because they're hanging out with Chyna. I'm like, does anybody know how broke this chick is?
So then you go back to her place.
No, we go to my truck to get my truck, and my truck is all smashed up and shit, and she's all super anti, and she's like, I want to go with you, and I'm like, okay, I don't know why. So she's like, we'll go to this other club. I'm like, okay, so we're driving down the freeway. She decides not to take anybody down the club, to me to the club. She won't answer me where we're going. And then out of nowhere, she jumps on me while we're going down the freeway. With this big fucking fluffy scarf thing on. Her shoulders are already bigger than mine with the scarf on. I can't see shit.
Where do you do it?
You're driving?
Yes, I'm driving down the freeway. It's like fucking 2 in the morning and she's on my, on my lap. I'm like, dude. I didn't say dude, but I probably should have.
You should have.
I said, dude, get off me. I can't drive like this.
Hey, man.
And then we went to a bowling alley and she, and she's like, do you want a drink? I'm like, I don't drink. And she's like, come on. I'm like, no. And then she bought like 10 shots of something. And drank most of them and gave like 2 to some fans there or whatever. And as soon as, because she's so desperate for attention, when someone recognized her, she was like, oh, hey, look at me. Or, hey, how you doing? And this is Jason. I was like, oh, God, no, don't say it. No, here's Jason.
So when do you get to the banging part?
Like, she takes me to this house, which is fucking, it's a lair. It's so creepy.
It's her house.
It's kitty cat poop dog fucking world. And it's the creepiest thing ever. I block it out. I'm a guy.
You fucked her at Robin's?
Oh, shut up.
Right, let's just hear this story. So I'm kind of curious about what's going on.
I get to her apartment. It's not that big of an apartment. It's a little apartment.
Right.
So it's got curtains over walls and stuff, and it's like a dark place, and it doesn't look like she makes much money. The first thing I thought was like, oh, she hasn't saved anything. She has no money.
Right.
And she had a person there that helps her do shit, some female that helps feed her and carry her.
Like an assistant.
It's an assistant for somebody who's, a little mentally challenged because she wasn't there to pay bills. She was just there to, like, put her pants on and shit.
Like
I think.
Nurse type.
Right.
It was
right.
Heavy.
Yeah.
So the dog is on the bed and she's like, I'm not having had sex for 10 years or something. I'm like, oh, that's a lie. But anyway. And she has rubbers in the cupboard. And I'm like, so you've definitely done it recently. So that was a lie. So then, it goes about. It was really sort of, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And
I saw the video of her having sex on.
I was like, "Thing is, the video of me having sex."
No, you didn't. But there was a video, and she has a very thick labia.
I heard that before I did her, so I was looking out for that. But it must have been flat when I did her.
The labias were normal.
It did. I didn't stick out, but as it was, as I said, it was dark, and maybe I wasn't looking for a dick because I was in her, and I don't want to see a dick if I'm halfway in a dude.
So, how was the sex?
It was just okay. She was so drunk. She was just plied around. But, you know, we did this, did that. Then I got the job done. I think she really, her vagina was small. I know that.
Right.
She was in pain.
Yes.
I felt good about that.
Look at you.
Are you a big man?
I am a big man.
Actually, that wasn't my vagina.
If you don't mind.
What is that, China?
That wasn't my vagina. That was the inside of my cock.
Oh. She actually admitted on my radio show the next day that I was bigger than Triple H.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
Impressive.
Yes.
Impressive.
Doesn't that dude do more steroids than fucking anybody else in wrestling? He probably didn't have one.
So after this is all over,
it gets way worse.
What happened?
At like 5 o'clock in the morning, I hear her. She took an Ambien to go to sleep, which I think is so crazy because she drank so much. She goes, "Do you want an Ambien?" And I'm like, "No, I don't want an Ambien. Why would I want an Ambien? I'm fucking on planet Earth." So she takes the fucking Ambien, and I'm like, "Wait!" And her fucking creepy mistress comes in to give it to her, like, "Put Ambien in the animal's mouth, shut the lid, let it go."
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I wake up and she's in the bathroom. And someone's helping her in the bathroom, so it's like she's a blackout walking to a bathroom. And I'm like, oh, and that's when it's 5 a.m. I've shot a load, and I'm like, oh, God, this is, it's gone too far. We've gone too far, Alice. It's not worth it. pull out now. You've got to get out of here. She gets into the bed, and she's singing that Britney song that just came out, the Give Me More.
Yeah.
And
give
she
me,
leaves
give, China, did you sing Give Me More?
Give me more Ambien.
I swear that was the
song. I couldn't remember the last lyric.
So she was trying to hold on to me, and she was saying, give me more.
Give me more, and you're never going to leave this house.
Yes, it was. And I was like, no, I'm just real tired. You know what I mean? Real tired. And then she finally kind of got off me, and then she fell asleep because she was still holding on to me. So then I was trying to get her off me, and she's really big up top. Like, and I'm not talking, she's got big tits, but her arms are jacked.
It's it's like being with a guy. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
When she was on top of me and I was holding her shoulders, I was like, oh, fuck. I'm just glad that I'm in her, she's not in me. But that's the only thing that's changing this from gay sex.
This is why you know what's gay.
That's right. I'm experienced, Robin. I don't talk about shit if I haven't done it.
I have to defend myself. The only reason I was hugging him, because I wanted to make him feel safe.
Nothing was happening to you.
He looked very frail and vulnerable.
Did she become attached to you rapidly after she had sex with you?
Dramatically.
What happened?
The arm, she was on I couldn't get the arm off me because it was super big and I was trying to get it off me and not wake her up. And it was her head. She has a big head, too.
Yes.
She'd be a good fucking cage fighter. You ain't switching that head off. So I'm trying to hold the skull and the arm, and that's got to be the most weight on her entire body. So I'm like trying to jack the fucking arm and the head off me at the same time, and then I realize she is out.
Right.
So I don't even worry. So I fucking rip the arm out of there, and then right as I rip the arm out of there, I'm trying to get clothes on. Fucking a server bitch comes flying in with a phone, like it's a radio show. We need to do an interview, and she's like, okay. Yeah, and I was like, okay. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just gonna go. It's getting late. Things are happening.
Yeah.
So she's nude on the phone doing an interview. I'm trying to leave, and she's trying to hold me while doing an interview.
Wait. Another blowjob after the phone call.
Yes.
Come on, hang on.
You don't want a blowjob.
And by the way, Jason, the next time we have sex, I'm not wearing the rubber.
You got to raw dog me, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Excellent.
You wore a rubber, but China.
I did wear a rubber, yes.
Okay, right. So did I.
I did, anyway, I go to leave that room. She leaves that room and goes out into the living room. Still on the phone. I'm like, I'm really, thank you, goodbye, bye. And then I get out the door, start heading down the corridor. She comes out nude on the phone, coming down the corridor. And this is the craziest part, because this is the last thing that I saw.
Yeah.
I run down the corridor, hit the elevator door. I get in the elevator. She's talking to a person my name is China now. It's finally China. And she's walking towards me, like, doing a frantic thing with her hand. And I'm just going, door shut, door shut, door shut, door shut. Mm-hmm, yep, soon. Door shut, door, come on, fucking door, come on, door. And then when she got about 20 feet away, bing, and the door shut. And I was like, oh my fucking God.
Have you seen her since?
No, but she did call me for like 2 months every second day.
You must have given it to her good.
Wow. I did give it to her good. In fact, I'm not ashamed of that.
But when she calls you, how do you kind of let her know?
I said this is wrong, and you know, what I mean, and I'm getting back with my wife, and I hope you respect that. And
And she did not respect that. She
only called me when she was drunk. She would leave drunk. I'm at a concert. You know what I mean? And I was like,
Jason's your new boyfriend. Where'd you go?
I want you back.
Yeah, I want you back.
So,
I'm digging a pit in front of your apartment. Try to avoid it.
That was the other thing I was actually worried about. If she took it too far, my wife is a Mexican. You know what I mean? She'll black out and stab you with a toothbrush.
So this new wife, how
I'm going to wrestle her on Cinco de Mayo.
How long have you been married to this one, on and off?
A couple of years now, but we've been together for almost 7 years.
And it's going
well.
Well, we now do counseling and all these other things, and I really work in my relationship. I feel having a daughter made a big difference. Me understanding, you know, I mean, the love that my daughter has in her eyes to me, that some way will branch off and be at another man that nobody deserves to be disrespected.
Has your wife ever turned to you and said, "Honey, listen, I love you. I don't want you in the cage fighting other men. You could get seriously injured."
Yeah,
I mean, you really
like
could get seriously.
Yeah, no,
injured.
You could.
I mean, but
only a couple.
Stop.
No, I will stop. I already stopped after my last fight. I won, and then my new.
What do you win? Can you win a lot of money, Cage?
I'm not in it for the money.
Again, you're never in it for the money. You're in it because you love to.
Yeah.
You like defeat. What is it like to crack a bastard in the face?
It's the greatest thing ever to knock a guy out. There's actually like it stops for a second. You feel it break a jaw, not to break, but you see it's a slow mo when it hits a knockout. There's a freeze where the jaw pulls apart from the head.
Is that the
and
moment
it's a
for
switch
you?
That comes off.
Is that what you love?
No, because I don't like, because in the when they're like what on the ground and they're having a fucking epileptic fit. No, I'm not that guy. I'm not a mean guy at all. I'm probably the nicest guy there is when it comes to fighting. I love combat. I love the challenge. I love getting hit and wanting to take a knee and continuing to come forward, throwing whatever I've got. I want a challenge. I want to be terrified. You agree to fight me. I agree to fight you. We train for 6 months. We meet in the corner. Nobody's cheap shots. When that dude says go, we fucking go, and it is on till the death. And
it is amazing to me.
It's the greatest feeling you can have when you're a man.
Is this like not with rounds or anything?
It's rounds. 3 5-minute rounds. Oh, every man should not every man should do it, but every man, almost every man should fight at least once, and not talk about fighting a bar. It's fucking euphoric, and all men are supposed to do violent shit. When they do it, and they practice it, and they do it organized, those people become good people. Because every man needs to fight. Artie Lang's junkie ass needs to fight bad.
He's looking for a fight.
This cocksucker is itching for a fucking
reason. Look, dude, I've had fights, but never in a ring. And I've been the guy getting knocked out.
It's not the same when you fight in a bar.
It's an amazing battle, isn't it?
It is. It's the greatest. Because the training, all the thing that leads up to it, when you tell yourself, if you're going to fight in a bar, it just starts happening. You don't know what happened, and that's the end of it.
Have you been knocked out?
No, only in a skateboard and motocross I've been knocked out, but not by a fighter.
Never
I got kicked in the face one time and I went out for a second, but I've never been like, I'm snoring.
Don't you think that's why you win in a fight? Because you so don't care about the pain of getting kneed or getting punched in the face that it's just irrelevant to you.
I'm a very competitive guy.
Yeah,
as
it won't
you can
freak
tell.
You out. Yeah.
The radio thing is.
Do
is
you
the
think
thing
you
I really
need to
about.
Fight Howard?
Yeah.
What?
I don't think he does. He's an intellectual.
No,
yeah,
I had
different kinds of men.
Different kind of men.
I had a different kind of life. I mean, I had a lot of fights growing up.
No, but I mean what he's talking about.
Yeah, and those fights were so real and so disturbing. There were no refs. It was just you
right.
went, and it was life or death.
But
yeah.
I think it was Fred.
It was 4 year rounds.
Yeah,
but I think
they went on and on.
I think Fred is sort of that kind of guy because he takes.
Boxing. Fred needs to kick ass for sure.
It, you know something? He's absolutely right when he talks about that. It's a whole different ball of wax. It's different than when you're like, you know, you're in an alley and you're just trying to defend mm-hmm. yourself. It's like there's strategy that's involved, and there is some exhilaration when somebody punches you in the face.
There
I
is.
Can't explain it.
Yeah, if someone punches you in the face and you're just standing there, that's fucked up. But
right.
if you agree and you guys are. You're moving and your heart rate's up. You throw a couple of jabs. You take a couple. It really is the thing that
yeah, because
I
you want to know how
most.
You're going to get out of it.
I think the braver thing that he's done is fuck China.
That's the bravest.
To me, that's a story.
I tell you,
exhilarating.
That was a violent act.
But you know, what he's talking about how, you know, there is a scene in the movie Raging Bull. It's funny he brings this up where De Niro tells Joe Pesci, his brother, hit me in the face, and he's like, get the fuck out of here. Now hit me in the face, and Pesci keeps hitting him. and yeah. it's real. And De Niro's like, you throw a punch, I can take it up the ass harder. And he keeps, and it's what he's talking
Here's
about.
Here's video of Jason getting punched by Pink.
Pink.
Right in the face, and even tell, there, take a look at this. You can
Where
see
am
it.
I? Where is it?
Any screen. Anyone,
any of these screens, you'll be able to see it on Jason.
Screens everywhere.
Put it up there, guys. I guess they don't have it.
Why did so, they tell you that?
Technical difficulties on
there,
the house.
There it is. There it is. Oh, watch it.
That was bullshit.
By right, here it goes. Right. Now,
she had to warm up for a gut punch.
Boom. And then you didn't. You weren't satisfied.
I said it was a bullshit punch. She has to do it again. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, she had bike gloves on, too, so she, I didn't want her to break her hands open. But
that wasn't that bad.
She wasn't.
That looked pretty bad to me.
It wasn't.
I mean,
people hit weight. I just fought a heavyweight boxer. He actually fought Lennox Lewis. He's my boxing trainer.
Yeah.
I sparred him 2 days ago, and he knocked me on my ass like 4 or 5 times, and he called me on the way home. He's like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm all right.
Wow.
And he's like, you got to watch that shit. I'm like, what shit?
Unbelievable.
He's like, you keep trying to spar me all the time. It's you could get brain damage.
Where are you living now?
Live in Santa Monica.
And so you do the show from Santa Monica?
Yeah, from Hollywood.
Every day you do
I'm committed to it.
Good.
I'm committed to it because no one, who else is going to carry this flame?
Hey.
I'm the only guy that's going to represent you the
son,
correct
Howard.
Way.
Why
it is.
This, I feel like this is my child.
Yes, this is your son.
Why was
it might be.
Why was Pink's vagina on your neck, by the
she
way?
She dyed my hair pink for a TV show that never got picked up, and she had to put my head in the bathtub, so she straddled me.
Nude.
And, yeah, no, but I did feel, and I think maybe her husband's listening right now, but I don't care, I'll tell him. I felt her lips on my neck.
Is your wife sexually adventurous?
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah. I mean, it's the kids have slowed that down dramatically. And
did she
that's
used
the thing
to bring girls home for you? Did she ever bring home girls?
Before we were married,
she
yeah.
did. Oh, that's hot. I got to take a look at your wife.
She's pretty hot. You check. She's on my website. She's on my MySpace and all that bullshit.
She'd bring home girls, huh?
Yeah. Kind of, you know, she was kind of doing it to help me out.
Yeah.
And
what do you mean?
Well, when I met her, I was, you know, I'm in a skateboard, dude. I think when we first met, I broke both my elbows and got swollen intestines. And then 3 months later, I did the exact same thing on another jump. So I spent 6 months on the couch on painkillers smoking weed and drinking vodka. So, yeah, I was like, just so you know, I don't really like anybody. If you want to hang out and smoke weed and fuck bitches, I'm totally into that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was because I'd been married. I didn't want to try to impress anybody. I didn't want to say, you know what, one day I'll float away with you and we'll get married. It'll be glorious.
But where would she find these girls that you'd have sex with?
Well, it's not that hard. Really?
Where you go to the strip club or something
like
that?
Yeah, we went to adult friend finder.
No kidding.
We went to a swinger party one time, and that went bad.
Why did that go bad? Now, your wife's very attractive, I imagine.
She's very hot.
She gets dressed for the swinger party. She puts on a little short dress.
She's got really long legs. She's like a skinny, like your chick.
She's a hot chick.
She's got that lengthy thing.
Oh, there she is.
Oh,
I can imagine you could attract a few people at the swinger party.
Who's that dork next door?
Boom, Lang.
So.
You mean the dork that you can see his fucking belt buckle, you fat prick?
Jason.
Can I put Jason in the face as hard as I can? Will you let me do it?
Hey, if you can get past that camera,
No, I'm saying for real.
You're no Pink, are you?
No, but Jason,
you can put your vagina on my neck if you want.
All right. I know, but I would take it if you let me punch you as hard as I can in the face.
Sit there and relax. Jason, I don't want to see
that. It's that whole heroin thing. He's going to get amped right now. Do you miss it?
Do I miss heroin?
Yeah.
Like you, I chased the dragon, and I learned that it was an awful life.
I think you need punches in the face.
I need
you on
something.
The radio every day. You're struggling. You're like, fuck, it's not as good being alive without the juice.
Let me tell you something.
I've got your juice, motherfucker. Your juice.
The great Ronnie Van Zandt, the Lynyrd Skynyrd, wrote it the best. He said, a needle and a spoon and a trip to the moon. And that's what it was. It was like a trip to the moon, but you come back from the moon, and it's hell.
He can barely tell that he likes it, can you, Stan?
He's a reformer.
He'll get wrapped into a story about heroin.
Before he runs out of time.
To talk about how bad it is, you can see it's like he's been fed a line.
Listen, no, I've thought more about heroin than anything else.
You're joking me.
I mean,
you're fucking joking me.
When you were living the life with prostitutes and all that other stuff, and you were going to them, you never got an STD, you never got sex.
I got chlamydia from a hooker one time, from a blowjob from her, which means she must have just recently took a chlamydia dick in the mouth right before me.
So what is chlamydia? What does that do?
When you piss, it burns.
You piss,
take
burns.
A pill, Bob's your uncle, everything's good.
Everything's cool.
Yeah, except if you're married and your wife knows that you went to the doctor for pills for chlamydia.
So you're telling us you're monogamous now?
Yeah.
Oh,
bullshit.
Do that from this crazy life.
When you went to
don't get pissed at me, junkie boy.
When you went to the sex club with your wife, and she's hot,
yeah.
She puts on a little outfit,
yeah.
Right away, everybody wants to have sex with her.
Yep.
And right there at the club, she have sex?
Well, it didn't go that well, because when we started drinking, somebody started to blow me before I got in the jacuzzi.
Right.
I was walking to the jacuzzi, and somebody just stepped out of the jacuzzi and put their penis, my penis, in their mouth.
Right.
And my wife was in the jacuzzi with somebody else, and it hadn't escalated there yet. I already went from zero to fucking, I'm fucking somebody's face.
Right.
Which is an awesome song, you should play it.
Right.
Yeah, and then she got up and was like, I don't know if I'm into that or whatever, and I was like, oh, calm down, and then that chick threw up, and I was like, wow, that was, like, I don't know if she has no gag reflex or what.
Right.
And then she, all of a sudden, from nowhere, my chick was super blacked out drunk and was in the car, and she's like, I want to leave now.
Wow, yeah.
That was the last time.
She ended up getting jealous and all of that.
Yeah, she was younger than me, too. She's way younger. She's 10 years younger than me.
You dropped out of school when you were what, 16?
The day it was legal.
No kidding.
Yeah, I always knew that I was going to be a skateboarder, man. That was the deal. Everything I always... It's weird when people tell me they don't know what their passion is, because I just fight to just pick one, because you can't be the best at everything, you know?
Right, right.
So I always... Skateboarding was everything. I didn't care. I didn't need money. I didn't need any fame or anything. I just wanted to be a really good skateboarder. It made me happy. And then radio came along, and
you're doing great with that, and everybody loves you on the radio.
Every time I get on the radio, I'm like, you know what? There's only one person I've heard that you made it cool, dude. I just want you to know the only reason I would take a job in radio is because I heard you, and I know what you do for people in the morning. You did it for me in the mornings.
Thank you.
You make it cool.
Well, thanks.
I'm not doing an uncool job.
And by the way, I'm going to advise my audience to tune in.
I think working in radio is gay.
Yeah.
That's the most stuck-up thing I've ever heard you say. You say some stuck-up shit.
I like you. I might let you punch me in the face.
And that's coming... I like him, too, and that's coming from Junkie Boy. And I just want to say, Jason, your dream's going to come true, because eventually you'll be a skateboarder.
Yeah.
Check out the Jason Ellis Show, by the way. Today, every weekday from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., so I guess you're doing it live here at the Sirius Studios today.
No.
No?
What are you doing?
What are you doing today?
I'm nobody. They put me back on a plane, and they're playing the best of the best, because I think they think that everybody that's going to listen to you, because you have fans,
right.
I have a hardcore audience that's minimal. Once I get to you, then your fans get me, and then I become the fucking juggernaut that I'm supposed to be.
So somebody came up with a marketing plan behind this appearance. You came up with it.
Yeah. Nobody's planning to do a goddamn thing with me at all. I'm hustling to make this shit happen.
Scott Greenstein didn't come up with that?
So you're going back on a plane today?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't get to do Pharrell, which is bullshit.
Yeah, Pharrell's a great guy.
That's my boy right there.
You would have fun with Pharrell.
I do Pharrell all the time. We actually call it Pharrellis.
Oh, there you go.
Yes,
okay.
We were born together.
Everybody check out the Jason Ellis Show today and every weekday from 3 to 7 p.m. on Faction, Sirius Channel 28 and XM Channel 52. As you can see, he is on a roll. He is ready to pick up the torch from me.
He obviously has stories.
I just asked that everybody give it a chance. I mean, it's hard to tell now, but if you listen to the show, I guarantee in that particular time slot, there is nobody that is doing a better radio show than me.
There you go.
I own the fucking radio from 3 to 7.
Fantastic. Right. John Boy, you're on the air quickly for Jason Ellis.
John Boy wanted to hang on.
That's right.
A couple quick questions. I'll make them fast. What would you say is more gay, Jason, if a bunch of guys in a room stare at each other with their shirts off, or one pussy faggot sits and refuses to take his shirt off?
Who didn't take the shirt off?
Fat Boy Gary.
Yeah, it's because he's incredibly fat and hairy.
Oh, well,
but we all are.
Being insecure is not gay. That's kind of a rough comment to give the gay guys. You're saying all gay people have no confidence?
Well, you decide.
I say a bunch of men with no t-shirts on in a room being funny is not gay. But it's like if a dude passes out and you teabag him, he's not gay. It's just fucking funny.
It's not a bad thing.
I mean, I'm not going to put my balls in your mouth, but if somebody does and I'm in the vicinity, I'll watch it.
And I'll laugh.
And everybody wins.
I agree with that.
Except the guy with the balls in his mouth.
Fuck him, he shouldn't have drank so much.
If you're uptight being in a room with guys with their shirts off, it means you're having weird thoughts.
I agree with that.
That's right.
What Gary did is...
You're gay!
Oh, that's true. That's for sure.
Okay, the other question was, to, as a fan, for you to leave your mark on the Stern Show, maybe even get on some Howard TV, you never know.
Yeah.
Would you rather let this little skinny pussy named JD, who eats Burger King every day, punch you... Or maybe give Richard Christie a dick slap with that huge Australian cock.
But John Boy, what is your deal?
You're taking me to areas I don't want to go to. I'm blowing dudes
to get on Howard's then.
You don't need to do that. You did that already.
Shit is escalated.
Kyle, you're on the air.
Thanks for bringing that up again, Audie.
Hey, I just wanted to say good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
And I just want to, Howard, I wanted to let you know, love your show. You're great radio. You broke through for everybody, and everybody appreciated it. And Mr. Ellis, Jason, right there, sitting right across from you, is is definitely the future of radio. When you retire, he will have the number one radio show in the entire world. This guy
Jason.
Is awesome. If you've never listened to a show before, you gotta. I call into Ellis' show as much as I can, but he's extremely hard to get in through, just like you.
I'm hot right now. Some
Jason, you're on fire, and if this guy wasn't calling from Creedmoor, I would say this would be good. But thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Howard.
Very nice. Well, listen, you definitely have your fans. Also, I understand you have a rock band.
Yeah, Taint Stick.
Taint Stick.
Yeah, we got a record deal. Great
name. Do you
really?
Where is your record deal?
Suburban Noise.
And when is the record coming out?
In 4 months.
And what is
it's
the
all done? We've got two music videos. Both music videos have Tony Hawk in it because I really enjoy swinging from that man's testicles. My game plan is to Tarzan from Tony Hawk's testicles and then fly over to Sternmeister's balls and give that a good thorough swing through Gloryville.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have a single.
Some balls
here.
Out right
really?
Now.
I was going to say, what is Taint? What?
Taint Stick.
Taint Stick music.
This is your single, Fuck Your Face.
Fuck Your Face is the song I want to play at my funeral.
Let me hear a little bit of it. Listen, did you write this song?
I did write this song.
Do you sing the lead vocal?
I do sing the lead vocal.
All right. Certainly dramatic.
Yes, it's a heavy song.
Coming at you.
It's the
Sirius Satellite Radio. A little Taint Stick for you. Yeah, coming at you. WNBC. Yeah. All right, baby. Very heavy metalish. Very.
I think it's a little too heavy.
That's too heavy for me.
Hot the fuck up, you big bigger.
All you motherfuckers in the fucking place. It's time to fuck you.
Like the Beatles.
Yeah.
I like it. You get the point?
Look to the lake. Look to the lake.
Want a war, I'll go to fucking war. The fucking future, fucking pain. And anytime I'm gonna fuck your mind with a fucking station, the fucking
the lyrics are beautiful.
Wow.
What inspired you? Fuck Your Face.
Well, I'm a big fan of fucking face.
Jason Lennon.
It's very Beatlesque.
And you do you go on tour with this band? Can we shoot somewhere?
Yeah, the record release party is going to be at Wasted Space in Vegas at the Hard Rock Hotel. We're going to do the first gig there.
And then sounds good.
We sound good. We have a whole...
It is good.
It's a good time.
You heard a song about shooting a load on a face, Artie?
It's a good love song.
I like it. Listen, I'm going to check you out, and I enjoyed having you here on the show.
He was great. Howard, his marketing plan is working. You know why? Because, listen, from 3 to 7, I listen to Bubba the Love Sponge.
Right.
Because Bubba is the best to me. I love Bubba.
I'm way better than him.
I'll tell you what. I love Bubba the best, but you have convinced me to tape your show and listen to you. Because
you could do it on your stiletto, couldn't
and
you?
And I'll tell you what, I think you're great. I think you're great.
All right,
I really
there you
do.
Go.
I
think, Artie thinks you're great.
I think you're
so
funny.
I think he's great, too.
Joe Buck.
And I can't wait till he's back in LA so I can fuck his face.
Yeah. China, you have fucked
China
his face,
song.
And you love it.
I love it.
Not fuck my face.
And I'd love to wrap my vagina around the back of his neck, but my balls get in the way.
Check out the Jason Ellis Show again today and every weekday from 3 to 7 on Faction, Sirius Channel 28, XM Channel 52. There's so many different channels, and depending on what you have, XM or Sirius. Great meeting you. Come back and see us anytime.
I would love to, man. Thanks so much for the opportunity
for people
to actually listen to me. I love
it. We are brothers in arms. We both work for Sirius XM.
When you're done, call me, give me the flame, and I will fucking hold it the correct way.
I'll give you the flame right now, and I'll leave.
Just don't die first. Don't die first.
I'm not going to fucking die. Now I just fucking talk to Howard Stern.
Sit right here now, and I'll leave.
That's a lot of pressure.
Let's do some heroin.
You know what I mean?
There he goes, the great Jason Ellis. We'll be back right after these words.